Well, the gospel message is indeed a message that God is saving people by Jesus Christ. Those who believe in Him will be saved. Well, what is God doing, and why do we need Jesus? There are a few ways that God is teaching us through Scripture what He has done in salvation in Christ, and that we must believe in Jesus. And especially when He chose these two sacraments, He is teaching us what He has done. And we could say it like this: salvation is a kind of cleansing from sin. And God sends Jesus so that we may be cleansed. Or we may think of salvation as new life. And God sends bread from heaven for us to eat and live, and a body and blood to give us life, this new life. Jesus is the living bread from heaven. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb to redeem us. We need Jesus to be saved, and we must believe in Him to be saved, cleansed, and given new life to be saved. And to aid this constant message that we must believe, our Lord instituted two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The signs of baptism and communion really point to everything regarding salvation in Jesus and faith in Jesus. The need of spiritual cleansing and the need of spiritual life. So the sacraments were ordained to teach the gospel. Now, the term sacrament, let me just say, by way of introduction here, the term sacrament is very familiar in Reformed and Presbyterian circles, and it has a very historical precedent. But it's unusual among Baptists, and they will chafe under this word. And I hope that I really hope Reformed and Baptists don't get hung up on this term sacrament. We really have a lot more of agreement. And a lot more in common than people sometimes think. And certainly we don't want to make the term sacrament a dividing point. There are some other significant disagreements we have. And it's not the mode, of course. It is whether you believe in infant baptism or also pedo, if you believe in adult believers' baptism or pedo baptism as well. But certainly the term sacrament is not one that should divide us. But we might have an opportunity to explain that. And so let me just take a little time here. Oh, and by the way, we believe it is an ordinance. That is the term Baptists will use, ordinance. When they use that, they're taking that from the command of Christ. Of course, we agree this is a command of Christ. It's instituted, it's ordained by Christ, it's commanded by Christ. And we certainly agree with that. The term sacrament, though, it has a long history dating back to the early church and even ancient Rome. It was first used among the ancient Romans in lawsuits. It was used for a sum of money deposited in some sacred place or in the hands of a priest to be returned to the victor in the lawsuit. Now, that doesn't really have any, it doesn't seem to have any bearing upon our use and meaning. It was also used, and this is where we do start to get some of the idea here. It was used among the Roman soldiers who would take a solemn oath in wartime. They would take a military oath, and that was a kind of pledge. It was kind of promise that they would make. But it's most likely comes from the old Latin translation of the biblical word for mystery. So in the Latin translation, where you see the word mystery, you would see the Latin sacramentum. And by mystery, it was something unknown, a sign of something unknown, or something that only the initiated can know. It was even used in the mystery religions, the initiatory rite. So a sacrament has something more to it. A sign is something visible. The sign that God gives us is something visible, material, outward. It's a ceremony, it's a rite, which denotes something invisible, something spiritual, something inward, something that's mysterious, something in a sense that is secret otherwise. But the sign helps us see it. The sign helps us see what can't be seen and understand what God is doing in salvation. I'll give you my own little definition. It's not little, but and I've benefited. This is probably very close to Burkhoff. A sacrament is an ordinance instituted by Jesus Christ in which a visible sign confirms the covenant of grace, the grace of God in Christ. So it confirms the promise of God's salvation. And the benefits of the covenant of grace are sealed by that sign only as the partaker believes in Jesus Christ and his gospel. So you have two important words in the Reformed, distinctive to the Reformed and Presbyterian, sign and seal. Sign and seal. In short, sacraments are signs and seals of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're signs and seals of salvation. As a sign, they point to Christ and his saving work. As a seal, they promise salvation to all who believe in that saving work. As a sign, they picture salvation. As a seal, they promise salvation. You see, many times when we have communion, I will have in the bold heading the picture and promise of God's grace. That's what they are. As a sign, they remind us. As a seal, they reassure us. As a sign, they represent salvation. As a seal, they confirm salvation. The signs will be the earthly elements. And in our weakness, in our insensitivity to spiritual realities, God helps us. And that's what the confession says there, isn't it? God being mindful of our crudeness and weaknesses. And being mindful of that, Jesus gives us the visible, the tangible, the concrete, the sensible signs. They appeal to our senses. Now, he says in the confession, it says these are added to the word of the gospel to represent better our external senses. And they don't mean this is that the gospel is lacking something to be added. It just means this, it actually means the very opposite, that the gospel is sufficient in itself. That's what the confession means. But God also gives us these to help our weaknesses. So in baptism, it's water and cleansing. In communion, it's the bread and the cup. We see them, right? You even see up here. You see the cup and you see the plate, which normally has some bread on it. You see the baptismal font. That can be a reminder to us. When we observe the sacrament, we see it. We touch them. We taste them. And we hear the message about them. And the message is essential, it's crucial, it illustrates, pictures, and points to the significance of faith in Jesus. So baptism signifies that we need to be washed in the blood of Christ to be saved. And communion signifies that we need to be nourished by the life and death of Christ. The sign of baptism and the Lord's Supper promise and confirm that as we partake in faith, we have the thing that is signified. As we partake in faith, we have the cleansing. We have the life of Christ. And so signs aid our faith. It's a means of grace. It's a means of grace. And we really should mark this down as a point of emphasis that sacraments point us to Jesus Christ. They point us to Jesus Christ, and they point us to faith in Jesus Christ, as our Belgic confession so aptly puts it, for their truth is Jesus Christ. Their truth is Jesus Christ. He's the substance. See, he's the substance of the sacraments. They point us to the Savior and his salvation, and they have no meaning apart from him. They have no value apart from him. They have no efficacy apart from him and faith in him. They're not to replace him, and that certainly has been done. They're not to diminish him, and that has been done. That has been done certainly in historically, they're responding to Roman Catholicism. But that's why the confession, and we'll emphasize this morning that the word of the gospel must accompany the observance of the sacraments. That's why Jesus Christ must be preached as we observe the sacraments. The word of the gospel must accompany the observance. Reformed churches stress that the word must be preached, the gospel must be preached, and the confession, so they are not empty and hollow signs to fool and deceive us. And the reason they're not hollow and empty is because the word of God is preached. Their truth is in Jesus Christ, without whom they would be nothing. So he needs to be preached. False churches, they don't need the word. They don't need the gospel. They don't need faith in Jesus Christ. Catholic Church teaches that you don't need the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there's efficacy in the sacrament themselves. And we do not teach that. As a matter of fact, Roman Catholicism taught that all that was necessary for salvation is in the sacrament without the Word of God. Now, Luther attacked that very point, by the way. Luther really gets a bad rap here because he may not have gone, he didn't go far enough, but he went very far for what he was dealing with. And he really broke with transubstantiation. Matter of fact, you know what he called transubstantiation? He called it a monstrous word and a monstrous idea. So don't get the idea that he agreed with it. Luther broke down their seven sacraments to the two that we know in Scripture. We wish Luther had gone a little further, but he paved the way for the reformers. He questioned the number and he denied the sacrament's efficacy in itself. He emphasized the promise of God. He emphasized the absolute necessity of faith. Listen to what he says here. What is most precious in every sacrament and consequently in the Eucharist? That's the Lord's Supper, the Thanksgiving. And consequently in the Eucharist is the promises and the Word of God. Without faith in this Word and these promises, the sacrament is dead. It is a body without a soul, a cup without wine, a purse without money, a type without fulfillment, a letter without spirit, a casket without jewels, a scabbard without a sword. Calvin also said this, for what is a sacrament received without faith but a most certain destruction to the church? See, without faith, said Calvin, the signs are like, quote, sun shining on the eyeballs of the blind, or sounds uttered in the ears of the deaf. It's useless. He went on, they confer nothing and avail nothing if not received in faith. So the sacraments are ineffective without faith, and therefore they must always be accompanied with the word of the gospel. It is a means. We say in the Reformed Church that the sacraments are means of grace when the gospel is preached with them. Now, and I'll say this, the gospel doesn't need the sacraments to be a means of grace. The gospel doesn't need the sacraments, but the sacraments need the gospel. The sacraments need the gospel. What does the Lord's Supper signify? It signifies communion with Christ. Signifies the covenant of grace. Signifies Christ and faith in Christ. What does baptism signify? His cleansing. The cleansing we need in Christ. It signifies the spiritual baptism. The pouring out of the Spirit on us. And so that the gospel must be preached. And the gospel message is that Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. Jesus can give us new life. Right? That's the good news. And so God aids our weaknesses. He aids our inability to see the spiritual transformations. And so we give him glory for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the sacraments that you have left to your church. It was a benefit to us to see how much we need to be cleansed from our sin, to see how Jesus alone cleanses us. We thank you for him. To see that he gives us his life for us. He gives us his righteousness. He gives us his blood. He gives us his sacrificial death. And we're so thankful that you give us life in Jesus. Always help us to trust in him and trust in him alone. In Jesus' name, amen.